When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off the limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hello.
You're in a different location today.
I am in a teenager's bedroom.
How does it smell?
You know what? My allergies are absolutely through the fucking roof because the amount of dust in this room is unreal. It's just, I've let go of this idea of the expectation that he's going to want a tidy bedroom because he doesn't. And that's fine because he mentally he's just not there. I mean,
I wonder if any teenagers are very sort of conscious of having a neat, tidy room.
It would be
interesting. I can't remember what I was quite like that. I liked it to be ordered.
I didn't. I was chaos.
Yeah, but you know me, I was always into my interior decoration. You should spend Sundays dusting all my shelves and rearranging my little cherub ornaments.
Whereas I was the one that stole an egg out of the fucking egg pot downstairs and hid it in my Barbie clothes, praying that it would hatch an egg and forgot about it. And then my dad tripped and fell into my Barbie clothes and the rotten egg just dissipated everywhere.
Oh, you're joking. You've never told me that before.
I thought I had, yeah. I was so
funny.
I was like, I'm going to steal this, put this in my bedroom and I'm going to get a chick out of it. I didn't. And then my dad came downstairs and he was like, Laura, I'm not angry, but I just need you to tell me the truth. Why?
How long had it been up there for?
I
bet if it was like,
if
it was a rotten egg, mate, that is like letting off an actual bomb.
I don't remember anything other than like just looking up at my dad and being like, oh fuck, the egg.
the egg.
You mean it didn't turn into a chick? My Barbie clothes didn't keep it warm enough?
I love that you wanted to see that, but then you just forgot about it and abandoned it.
That just goes to show like how able I was for fucking caring for something back then. Couldn't even keep a fucking Tamagotchi alive, let alone a bloody egg. Tamagotchi.
How are we today, Laura?
I actually have deliberately not told you what happened to me at the weekend because I thought
it
was important to leave it for now. It was...
Because it's juicy.
Bad.
Oh, yes. Oh, good. We like a bad story.
So we went to the forest yesterday with our friends, dog walk. Loads of kids, loads of dogs. Great. This forest, just to put into perspective, is called 100 acres. Okay?
Okay.
To surmise.
It's big.
Fucking big.
Yeah.
We're walking. There's the dogs, the kids, blah, 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 blah. And just ahead of us, down this slope, in amongst the trees, we see that Elliot is down at like this lake bit, throwing stones, and Indy's barking. We get down there and I go, where's your brother? He went, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I turned round and we were then fully immersed in the complete and utter silence that four children were missing. Oh. Mate.
That's not good.
13 years I've managed as a mum and I've never, ever lost the kids because I am so anally retentive about their location at all times. I thought they were ahead of us, but they must have been at the side of us and wandered into another part of the woods.
Right.
Mate, it's like the Blair Witch Project. You can't hear a fucking thing.
Oh my God.
I'm not good in that situation because it is like a genuine fucking all-out fear of mine to lose the kids. So I'm shouting. Yeah. His name. We all branch off. We tell Elliot to stay where he is, who, by the way, couldn't give a fuck.
No.
The hilarity of how many fucks he didn't give is off the fucking charts. So he's like, I'll just sit here and wait. And we're like, okay, that's fine. Screaming, scouring, literally about 15 minutes, I'm going to say, nothing. And then all of a sudden we could hear like a faint noise And I was like, oh my God, that's them. And then the noise went dead. And it was like, fuck. Oh, mate, I cannot express to you. I was saying to Steve, I'm like, Steve, this is my worst nightmare. And in his voice, I could hear he was trying to be cool, but he was but also was terrified.
Yeah.
So he was like, it's going to be fine. We'll find them. And then I like run out into this big clearing and this guy, I'm going, yeah, like absolutely fucking lost it by this point. And this guy goes, what you lost, kids or dogs? I was like, kids. He went, there's four of them over there. I was like, ran over. And they appeared out of these trees. I have never seen sweat like it. Toby was fucking, his hair was soaking wet.
He was panicking.
Yeah, they were lost as well. Like, it wasn't like they were completely unaware. Fucking hell. I even know how I was breathing or how I was standing.
There's no feeling like it.
I've never, ever experienced it. I never want to experience it again. It was
awful. Didn't we? That one time with Edith when we were at our friend's house and then she'd gone and hidden in one of the rooms house and we couldn't find her. That's the only time that I've ever felt that. And oh my God, absolute panic and fear of what's happened to them. Who's taken them? Yeah. Where are they? Are they still alive? Yeah. Like just everything going through your head. Yeah. And just, it's absolutely awful.
It was awful. It was so bad. And so gave him a hug and he was like, I never want to come here again. I was like, it's okay. I was like, we've all learned a really important lesson. I mean, mate, I am such a fucking cunt when it comes to the location of my kids. I'm so annoying with it. I've never, ever, ever been in a situation where I just lost track. And obviously I suppose
you know, like you're in a forest and
it's just so much noise and everything. You're there.
Yeah,
not...
and they're all together too. Oh, so you're sort of thinking, oh, well, they're at least they're together. Yeah. It's not like one of them on their own. But yeah, terrifying. Then... especially with water around. Jesus Christ. But yours are old enough.
We didn't need to worry about that. Yeah. And then it was like, in my mind, I was like, oh my God, what if they've all splintered off? And I think I panic because I know that Toby would be fucking terrified, and I hate the fact that I couldn't be there to keep him safe. So that was the bit that just absolutely skyrocketed. So anyway, we calmed down from all of that. We start walking back because we're like, fuck this walk. We're going to go home. Walking back. And then one of the kids goes, oh, look at Indy, our small dog. She's doing something funny. And I look down at her and she's ripping. I'm not kidding you. Ripping the shit out of her face with her claws. And her mouth is wide open.
Oh, God. What, she swallowed?
She has. Initially, we thought she had got a stick stuck from top to bottom and
like
jarred
in a comedy
her mouth wide
kind of
open.
Way,
it was not that. Yeah. It was worse. She had managed to bite a stick clean off and it had wedged directly up into the roof of her mouth.
Oh my God.
Was ripping, like literally her face was red raw, like her nose, everything. Like she was scraping it along the ground. She bit Steve because Steve was obviously trying to get out of her mouth. Fuck me, you know, and you're like, are you fucking having a laugh?
This is supposed to be a nice relaxing Sunday. Whoa.
So I fucking grab her, pick her up and like try and get, because she's just gone full blown feral.
Crazy.
She then starts screaming like,
oh no,
fucking screaming like she's being murdered. It's not a bark, it's a scream.
Yeah.
So I'm holding her. Steve prizes her mouth open and Steve goes, I can't get the fucking stick. So our friend then had to come over.
Oh my God.
It took three of us to remove this fucking stick from her mouth. And I can't actually fucking believe what's the last 30 minutes of my life has just aged me by 5 years.
That's it, exactly. And then you've got to go home and just recover from that sheer adrenaline absolutely soaring through your veins. You must have felt.
You know, I don't want to be like a mum, I don't want to be a dog owner in my next life. I'm fucking done. 30 minutes and everything in my life changed.
Do you know what? It just makes me laugh because I think it is that whole thing of having kids as well. Or when you ever go on like a family day out, I would say that 85% of the time there's something incredibly stressful that happens, whatever it is. It feels
especially
like it's
like,
definitely
this will be nice.
I know,
this will be lovely.
Let's go and have a nice little walk. Like it's so idyllic in your mind, the kind of
lovely
like how it's going to play
or
out.
Tunnel walk, winter
that's it,
walk.
There you go.
In our wellies.
And then no.
Fucking Blair Witch Project. That's honestly what it felt like when I was walking through the trees. I was like, fuck me, like this is where we start hearing kids, but they're all dead and there's like blood handprints on the trees.
Oh my
and
God,
I went dark. I went really dark real quick. But do you know what really fucks me off? And I do wonder, they probably aren't listening. In fact, they definitely aren't. But here's a little personal message to the absolute Seth bits, cumbags, scrotum juices, that when those four children walked up to you yesterday and said, please help us find our adults, you turned around and said no and left them alone. Oh. If I had found out who you were when we located our children,
God, that's terrible.
I would have let, yeah.
You would be unalived.
Yeah. I cannot stress enough how many times I have been in situations where I have found lost children. I found lost dogs, not just one. You don't fucking walk away. That car accident when we
really
came back
awful.
From Egypt and someone
rolled their
car. Six cars drove round her. Like, what the fuck? When did we become a society that says no to four small children? Fuck me.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, who was it? Did they give you a description of them?
No, Toby, we got in the car and Toby said, Mum, like some grown-ups, they told us they wouldn't help us. And I was like, excuse me?
But do you know that's so shit as well, because we try to teach our children with like any safety stuff if they ever get lost or whatever. You always say, go and find a grown-up to help you. Like, and then they're just getting told no.
Yeah. Don't bother with those adults. They're cunts. Oh, mate, I was so angry. Because it's like,
in a place like that too, where there's probably not that many people around either, because it's a big forest.
And also, like,
whatever.
I said to the kids, I was like, well done, you all stuck together and you all did the right thing. You went to find an adult and an adult was meant to fucking help you. But they were, oh, mate, I have no words for it. Like, I'm not kidding you. I don't even know what I would have done if the kids had pointed them out. I think I would have blacked out. I would have gone full-blown Incredible fucking Hulk on
you
them.
You ended up in prison, mate.
Yeah. Because when it comes to kids' safety, like, even if it's not my kids, I take it so fucking seriously. Like,
they were obviously so scared.
That's
and
it.
You would have been
that's
able to
what it
see
comes
that
down
when
to.
You, I mean, maybe they were like, oh, they're taking the piss, but I think you would have been
Poor
able to tell, especially if Toby
kids.
Had, like, a massive sweat on.
Yeah. Poor Toby.
From the fear.
Poor fucking Toby.
Oh,
you just don't walk
dear.
Away. Like, how can you, like, just go, oh, I'm good. I'm definitely just going to leave them there. I would have pummeled them to the fucking ground, I think. Like, I actually think I would have. I would have absolutely.
So there you go. If you took a walk in 100 acres in Portsmouth on Sunday and you said no to kids, we know. Well, I don't have anything exciting to report. I feel like I just forget stuff that's happened in my life. But I don't think anything exciting at all has happened to me in the last week. Other than obviously same old fucking story, mate. Horrendous sleep. We all know about that.
Yeah.
Oh God, I have been up since 2:30 this morning.
Oh God, I just.
Oh no! Luckily, I went to bed early. I went
just
to bed at
so
sort of
sad for you.
9:20 last night. So I worked it out. I was like, it's okay. This is how sort of depressing it becomes when you are sleep deprived all the time.
Yeah.
That you think that having 5 hours sleep that's a good thing. It, like consecutive hours sleep, you're like, it's fine. I'm just going to get up at 2:30. It's like, you know, on all social media, those wankers who are like, get up at 5 a.m. to achieve massive success. And you're like, babes, I'm up at 2:30 a.m. Right?
Yeah. You are Mark Wahlberg. That's what Mark Wahlberg does. He does everything in his day so that he then gets to maximise his time with his children and wife when they wake up at a normal hour.
A cunt. I mean, to be fair, what was I doing? I was just lying there silently raging at how shit my life was and how much
I
hated my life.
So you didn't get up and pray, exercise, have a smoothie, do a power lift of some description.
It got to like 4 a.m. and I did think, do you know what? I might just go and make myself a cup of tea now.
Oh, no.
But then I was like, I can't.
That's too depressing.
I just can't. And then when Rob, this is how my night played out. 2:30, woke up, Edith was in the bed. Rob was in her bed. I said, absolutely no fucking chance, mate. We need to get her out of the habit of this. Get back in our bed. I put her back in her bed. But then I'm awake. Couldn't go back to sleep. 4 o'clock, Oliver wakes up. He's wide awake. Get into his bed because there's no way that he'll ever go to sleep without one of us in there. And then he just twerks, essentially. Twerks and does backflips. There for an hour and 40 minutes, still not having gone to sleep. At 5:50 went into my room. Then the truck was a truck arrived outside my house that was just going beep, 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 like that, offloading sand to the next door neighbors.
Do you feel like an unreasonable amount of rage? When,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, okay, it's not just me. Like, I think I'm going to punch something.
Do you know what I said to Rob? Because then the truck happened.
I'm already
and
laughing.
Then his alarm off, and I just went, well, it was nice knowing you because I'm going to kill myself today. See you later, bye. That's what I said.
I don't wish to be dramatic, but I don't want to live anymore. I've had enough. I've fucking had enough.
I did go back to sleep after I woke up at 2:30 and I literally don't want to be here anymore. I mean, obviously, I would say all this in light. We are, you know, in jest. We can say these things.
Victoria, you can say that. It's okay. We are not going to be come after for expressing the utter depression of sleep deprivation.
It was so passive aggressive, mate. Because also it was like so directed at him.
I pick up on the passive aggressive.
Nice knowing you. I'm going to kill myself today.
I'm out.
So flippant as well. Well, it's been nice knowing you after like 11 years together. Obviously, none of it was meant from a serious note, but I was absolutely raging. I was so angry.
I can find myself in those places, and I think Steve's learned to just be like, okay, this is the day.
Yeah.
This is the day that we are going to have with Laura. This is where she's going to be emotionally. And I'm not gonna pay too much attention to it.
I was so grumpy. I mean, when I did eventually get up and the kids were just, you know, like, I just was very short of them. And they were good as gold. They went off and played. I was like, well, it's the least you can do, actually, considering that you've kept me up for the last, I've been up now for 6 hours. So fuck my life. So that's happened. And I don't think I did a record bedtime. I mean, this is how exciting my life is. I went to bed at 10 to 9.
That's not late for you or early. That's
early for me. I'm living the high life now, Laura. I don't go to bed till 9:45. Woohoo!
You know what? I try. Steve goes to bed quite late. I try really hard. Saturday. So I redecorated, didn't I, the living room.
Oh, God,
on Friday
did.
And Saturday. I was fucking knackered. And on Saturday, I thought, I'm staying up late, man. It's a weekend. Yeah. I'm going to be footloose and fancy free.
I always
and
do that and I regret it.
Well, I didn't manage it. It got to 9:45 and I was like, I need to go to bed. I'm tired.
Also, you've done a lot of physical activity. How's the living room? It looked lovely from what you showed me.
It is wonderful. Yeah. So the fire's being fitted currently. But can we, I mean, obviously quite a lot's happened to me this weekend. Can we talk about, is Rob good at DIY?
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, he is. He's built loads of shit. It's the one thing that really does redeem a lot of his less favourable features. Do you know what I mean?
Steve is shit.
Is he really? I couldn't cope, you see.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't actually cope very well at all with it, Vic, to be quite honest. I don't.
It takes him a long time to actually do something, but when he does it, he can do it and he's very capable and he does a good job.
So we have a bay window.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we put the pergola up and we nearly divorced?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because Steve will always get it wrong first and then lose his temper and then do it another time round.
Yeah.
So we have a bay window. I wanted to completely change the curtains and I wanted to change the curtain pole because the curtain pole was shit. It's old. 3 hours, Vic.
Oh, my God, you're joking me. But did you do a bendy into the bend curtain pole? Because that is more challenging.
It took him 3 fucking hours.
Oh, wow.
And do you want to know why it took him 3 hours? Because the first time round, he got it wrong.
Yeah. Did he read the instructions?
Oh, yeah. He will
read them.
Oh,
did he read them? Okay. Because that's one thing. Rob never reads the instructions and he just thinks he knows how to do it and then he always gets it wrong. And that annoys me.
This is unfortunate. Yeah, that's me. See, that's me all over. It's 50-50. It'll either go great and I'm like, see, I didn't need the instructions. Or if there's too many nuts and bolts, I'm like, I don't want to do it, Steve. You do it. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah.
But, three fucking hours. And this is the downside of who I've married. I've married my dad.
So my dad was excellent at DIY and he taught me how to use a drill and everything. So I
mean, my dad was brilliant. My dad built the extension of their house, you know, like he put his hand to everything. He was fantastic, but fuck me, he made so many mistakes and he bodged so much shit. And that's Steve. I just can't express the unrealness of it. And then he was such a cunt. He was such a fucking cunt about it. I was just like, I don't know how, but I hate you with every fibre. No.
It's definitely, it's a divisive argument starter, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Any DIY situation and you just end up arguing. It's very difficult to do it and be amicable,
and like,
really.
And Steve gets a bit upset. He's like, no, we are a good team. And I'm like, we're a good team in many respects, Steve, like supporting each other and stuff.
But not when it comes to this.
Am giving you the baton back of telling you we don't work well together in these situations. Initially, it's all a laugh, it's all a joke, and then very quickly,
no
one's laughing anymore.
No,
and everyone's calling each other cunts, and nobody's getting on.
Yeah,
like last night we were sat on the sofa. So fucking, this is who I'm married to. Sat on the sofa. He sat on one sofa. I'm sat on the other. I'm watching the TV. And I just hear him make this really odd noise. I was like, bent over
what
him.
That?
And he went, I put a bit of chocolate in my mouth. I looked over at you. I forgot I had chocolate in my mouth and I went to swallow it and I choked on it a little bit. I'm like, I don't understand. I don't understand how you're my person. How are you my person that I meant to grow up with?
Swallowing whole pieces of chocolate.
It's too much. It's like you actually... The function of looking at me meant that your brain couldn't then also tell you to fucking chew. So that's why he shit at DIY. Oh.
Well, Rob gets it from his dad because he's one of those that's got, you know, he's got a piece of wood for everything. That sounds like a euphemism, but you know what I mean? Like, Rob does this. He just saves random fucking scraps of wood. And I'm like, why do you need that? Put it away. Look, just get it. Let's put it in the skip. Just get rid of it. No, he'll always hold on to it. But his dad's house is like, he's made a conservatory out of doors and UPVC windows that he's just found on the street.
That's
so it's
incredible.
Like some sort of weird like rolled dial fucking tail.
I love that sounds like so like eclectic,
like stuck together with human hair and excrement or something.
Oh dear. It's like very Edwardian, isn't it? Where you used your own shit.
Resourceful though. But I reckon Rob's dad would just survive an apocalypse because he's so resourceful. He'd be able to work out a way. He'd be drinking his piss straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he'd go Bear Grylls immediately. Yeah.
I watched did you watch the Louis Theroux Bear Grylls documentary?
No.
Because you know he does those like interviews with famous people.
Yeah.
He's done it with him and I watched it and... Yeah, he's a really like interesting character. Just kind of, he never wanted to be on TV or famous or anything like that. It all happened by accident. And he really does seem to struggle with the like limelight and the fame because he's got like fanatical fans, like big time. They're just absolutely
obsessive. To be fair, Toby's probably one of them.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually know the Bear Grylls TV series on Netflix probably off by heart.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
That and Steve Batchel. Steve Batchel was probably one of Toby's heroes.
Who's he? Is he a survivalist type guy as well, is he?
No, he does the deadly 60
right,
of animals.
Okay. Right.
Obviously, because Toby really loves animals. So that's basically, Steve Batchel. Steve Batchel actually did like a tour of the UK in like theatres.
Yeah.
I was so fucking tempted to get tickets for Toby. And the only thing that worried me was it for more of a grown-up audience and he'd get bored?
Yeah.
But, oh my God, I think if he met Steve Batchel, that would be like Steve meeting David Attenborough to Toby. Like, he's out there. He is absolutely fucking out there.
You should watch it. It's good. Watch it well. It's probably a bit too grown up for Toby, but
I'll watch it. Did I talk about the fellow travellers last week on the podcast?
No, definitely
I must
didn't.
Have watched it in the week. Fucking hell, mate. It is the most beautiful, heartbreaking, incredible, sexy, fucking energy charged thing I've ever watched. It's got Matt Bomer in it.
So is it, I was going to say, it's not a documentary. It's
it's a
drama.
It's set in the 50s.
Yeah.
And kind of spans between the 50s through to the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Bomer is the most beautiful fucking thing I've ever
seen. I can't think who that is.
I'm sure we talked about this last week.
I know.
Googled, he's...
Not with me.
He's
Matt
Bomer. Oh, my mate, he's so beautiful.
Oh, yes, I do know who he is. Yeah, he is
really
beautiful.
He was in...
Chiseled.
Yeah,
That's what comes to
him
mind.
Him and his husband, they've got three kids, you know, and you're just like, God, I just want to be in that.
Oh, he is gorgeous,
fucking...
isn't he? The blue eyes.
So him and Jonathan, I can't remember the other guy, who's British.
Oh, yes. Who's the bloody priest in Fleabag?
Yes. No, you're thinking of another film about a gay couple. That's different.
Right.
I also want to watch that. I'm really into gay programs at the moment. I watched Good Grief, which has got Dan Levy in it.
I watched that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one that I watched? Oh, is it Maestro with Bradley Cooper?
Oh, yeah.
That was fucking brilliant. That was about like a famous musician who married a woman but was actually gay, and like his wife supported that and kind of basically turned a blind eye for the whole of their life. It was fucking brilliant, but also devastating. It's like just basically really into
LGBTQ cinema.
I'm there, mate. I'm there. I'm fucking there.
But yeah, recommendations for TV.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely
loved it.
Yeah.
Right. Should we have some stories?
I know. I'm just literally perusing, trying to find one.
We had a little message from the old squirter.
Yeah.
Who said,
she like ruined a phone.
Oh, because we had a few questions, didn't we? We said, have you squirted since? And she said, no, she has not squirted since.
It was a one offer.
It was just,
I wonder if it's because her body was like, what is this?
It's the first time she's ever used it. That's what happened to my friends.
She didn't hit the fucking windows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, you know our resident phone
I've got one.
Mistress lady.
Yes.
Dominatrix lady.
Oh, we've got to have her on.
We really do. I'm gonna reply to her email. She's just sent, she obviously, that part of her job, she gets like sent these requests from men, and she sent me a screenshot of a request. And obviously she's done, you know, there's no names, nothing like that.
No, it's all anonymous.
All anonymous, but from what she sent me to, she's, you know, it's all blanked out. But this is what he's written. Hi there. I wonder whether you might ever consider a humiliation session where you would fart in my face and splat me with custard pies. I know it's strange in brackets.
He gets the fart in the face on a daily, and
mate,
I don't even.
I'm so up for
I don't
that.
Even get paid.
You know, you're like is this actually my calling?
Jesus, I'd be great at that.
Where does the custard pie go? Does it go in the face? Or does it go on the knob?
Yeah, or does it go in the back, bum? Like, where?
All out, all over. And where's
is it
that
a big custard tart? Is it a custard tart, did you say?
Custard pies.
A custard pie?
I actually love a custard pie. Do you know that?
You know,
I love
really
custard.
Got into a Portuguese tart.
Oh, hello. That's what I'm talking about now. They
delight.
Are
absolute
the
delight.
Best things ever.
I'm telling you now, you'd hurt someone with that pastry.
Absolutely. You are not allowed to waste the pasta donatas on a fucking penis. Absolutely not acceptable. What you can do.
Donatas. You're such a knob.
That's what they're called. I'm so excited about going to Lisbon because there's just pasta donatas coming out of your eyeballs.
Of course.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Maybe when we get there, Rob will be like, hey, V, I've got a request for you. Can you fart in my face and splat me with pasta donatas?
Maybe it's Rob.
Yeah, maybe
it
is.
I'm going to eat them.
Absolutely, he wouldn't waste food like that.
I actually know. The other day I was naked, I just got out of the bath, so you know when everything's a bit wet, and I went into the bedroom and I bent down to get something out of my drawer, and I let out the biggest, wettest fart as Steve was walking down the stairs, and he just went, nice.
Yeah, that's what Rob said so often.
Nice.
Much like their response to our sexy messages. It's the same response, isn't it?
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you. That's nice.
I can't help it. But you know what? I just, what my guts are like. But even when we're like having a little bit of a kind of like a tiff or something, and then we'll be arguing, and then the argument will be like, yeah, well, that's what I just said, mate. And then I'll just go, and it just totally undoes any sense of authority
farts
that I
do,
had.
Though.
Yeah.
Farts do undo that. You can't, anybody that can take a fart seriously, I don't want to be your friend.
I know. And people that don't laugh at farts, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They will always be funny. They will
Unless,
always be
funny. The only time they're not funny.
Funny
is when Steve's had like a heavy roast and they smell.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Steve can change the whole atmosphere of a room with his ass.
Yeah, like, I can be really like that bad. Sometimes. So I've been bad recently. I wonder
and
if
in
it's
the end, cause... I'm not. I initially I find it hilarious, but in the end, I'm like, I don't like this anymore.
I'm not having a fun time anymore.
I'm not having fun anymore.
Do you know what I've been doing? That I can't remember if I said it on it before. The glucose goddess method. You heard of her? So she's like a French scientist, and she has studied the effects.
Oh my god.
You know
that
her.
Woman who stands up and like in like the basically talks random things like, oh, if you suck on a fucking honey root, you will stop any chances of ovarian cancer. Her.
Oh, I don't know if she says that. She's
no,
got
I don't
very...
know either. I'm not quoting her name. She's an older lady.
No, she's not. Oh, she's young, okay. She's definitely younger than me. Younger than us. And but her whole premise is that if you have vinegar, some form of vinegar at the start of a meal, it helps to reduce the glucose impact on your blood sugar levels by like 30%. And there's loads of scientific evidence to back it up. And there's lots of research papers that back it all up and all the rest of it. And my friend, who is actually a chemist, she's, don't ask me to read anything because I'm like, meh, I just fucking believe anything. But she actually read the papers and she was like, this is solid science that's in this. So she's doing it as well. But yeah, so you do that and you don't have to do it every meal. You just pick one meal. So the thing is, this is the four things. You have a savory breakfast. So nothing sweet at all.
I still have a nut bar.
Well, yeah, nuts are all right, I think, but you need to like lace it with fat and protein. So like avocado on toast. Yeah. With eggs, that is perfect breakfast.
Beautiful.
Straight up. Bit of sourdough, always about the sourdough. But then you have to have this bit of vinegar. So I've just been pickling cucumbers and I've got through about four jars of them already because I absolutely love pickles. So I just eat a few pickles. And then you have to try and eat your vegetables or a small little veggie starter first. So you can just have whatever. Like normally I'll just put some sugar snap peas and some... peppers and some cucumber, and I do it for the kids. They won't have the vinegar, but I put that on the table and they fucking absolutely lap it up. And then once you've had those two things, then you eat the rest of your meal and you can eat what you want, but it's like the order of things. And I don't fart as much, and I swear it's to do with the vinegar helping to break down.
So basically, if you wanted to get into the profession of professionally farting in people's faces, you would have to
I'm gonna have to stop doing it.
You would, yeah, you'd have to drop the vinegar. I'm saying immediately, I'm snoozing on the information you're providing.
Because of the vinegar?
No, just because it seems like it's a lot. It's a lot.
You do look like you zoned out, to be fair.
I did zone out.
Oh, no, I think it's been the best thing ever. It's really, really stabilised my energy. So I'm not having, because I've been doing it for about a month, I just don't have that dip in the afternoon anymore. And I'm still eating chocolate because I'd never, ever give that up. But you just have it at the end of the meal because then it's got all the other food to like soften the impact of the glucose.
Oh, that's such a clever idea.
Yeah, and then you do, I feel
full.
I would happily
do a fucking shot glass of bloody vinegar over having to do the rigmarole of what you've just fucking said.
Well, you can put it in water. You can't drink it straight because it's really bad for your teeth, I think.
Good.
But if you put it in like some water.
I'll do that then.
Yeah, I was doing that for a while.
It's acidic, isn't it?
It is acidic. But I just have it in the pickles. Do you not like pickles?
Not like you do.
I fucking love them, mate.
I know you love a pickle.
Bit of fermented
you pickle
food.
Everything.
I know, I've pickled some fennel. I'm
do
really
you
excited to eat
eggs.
It. I've never had a pickled egg.
That's disgusting. If you like that, we're out.
I don't think I like that. It sounds weird.
Disgusting. It's wrong.
And really... the smell, like vinegar and eggs. No, thanks. I've never eaten that.
Grim.
I just like it
pickle. Have you ever done the experiment where you put the egg in, I'm sure it's vinegar.
No.
And you leave it there for a week and it turns it bouncy.
Does it?
It, like you leave the shell and everything on it. I'll have to Google it. It's like vinegar and something else. So we did it. And yeah, like literally, like we did a science experiment with the kids.
Yeah.
You cut, obviously, Toby fucking bounced it too hard and it obviously exploded. But it, yeah. And like if you put colouring with it, you can change the colour of it. And it's pretty cool. It's a cool one.
The kids love science experiments.
Fun science experiment if you can be fucking bothered.
Oh, I can tell you about my awkward fucking exchange with a dad at school. The most socially awkward I've ever been in my entire life.
Was
with
he
a parent. No.
Oh.
The kid that Oliver's made a friend, which is a miracle because he hasn't made any friends in his old school. Moved to the new school, absolutely loves it. Says, oh, I've met this met this girl. He absolutely loves her. And so I hung around to meet the dad or the mom afterwards and say, oh, look, do you want to do a play date sometime? Well, they took that quite literally and didn't really sort of understand what I was trying to communicate. And I ended up with a kid at my house after school. They literally drop kicked them into my house. I was like, see ya. But the exchange between us was the most awkward I have ever felt in my entire life. It was off the chart. I was making myself feel on edge because it's like, imagine having to hang out with me. Oh my God. It was, yeah, mortifying. And then he like rang me about three times on the way back to pick her up. And I'm even worse on the phone. And it was, I was just like, hello. I think I just made noises. I don't even think I said anything. So he's probably never going to let his daughter come around again.
Sorry, Oliver, you've lost your one and only friend.
I can't do parents.
Because of me.
It's just too painful.
I struggle with it, to be honest with you. I think I'm in a space at the moment where I lack a lot of fucks.
Yeah.
Whereas before I would have been like, right, okay, just put the smile on, just show up and chat.
Yeah.
I'm now at a point where I'm like, if you try and engage in conversation with me, I'm probably just going to cut you off because I don't want to talk. And like, I know that sounds so cunty. And if you're listening to this and you are a mum in my fucking playground, I'm sorry, but I ain't in the fucking mood.
No. Oh, no.
I'm really not. I just can't do.
Oh, God. I just find it really difficult. Find any social things very difficult. Unless I have like an instant rapport with you and then it's all right.
But that's it.
This was like no vibes.
I know I'm going to sound like an absolute cunt for saying this, but I've realised I rely so heavily on the energy of somebody to engage with them. Yeah. And I will pick it up almost immediately. Granted, my fucking energy radar is sometimes really fucking off.
Yeah.
But I've managed to get to a point where I really pick up really fast, where I'll meet someone and immediately I'm like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but if something's off with their, I don't know, their fucking juju, whatever it is, like there's something and I'm like, I don't like you and I'm going to stay away from you.
I think also at this age, we've wasted enough time with rotten eggs.
I know, but some people still do.
It's very egg heavy. This
is very egg heavy. Rotten egg, my rotten egg when I was a kid, your hard boiled egg, pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Egg science experiment. It's just,
and now rotten eggs. It's just
now rotten eggs.
It's just egg central, basically. Yeah. Have you got a story?
Yeah, I have. Back when I was growing up in the late 60s, so we've got a mature person here. That's fine. Everyone's welcome into the fold. In a small town in Vancouver Island of British Columbia, Canada, our family operated a smoke shop. Tobacco products, magazines, books, candy, and condoms for those late night spontaneous dates, etc. And the shop had an upstairs office at the back that overlooked the store. In my teens, I worked the store and had a key just in case. This presented a far too convenient opponent for a teenager. Opponent? That's not the right word.
Yeah, no.
Definitely says opponent. I know I'm dyslexic. Anyway, basically, fantastic fucking opportunity for a teenager to have a private space for a little late night rendezvous.
Oh, hello.
I've managed to have a couple of successful encounters. I love how they're edging their way round the words.
Yeah.
A good old fucking. And I guess I got too comfortable with those late nights that the late successes and started stretching the start earlier and earlier. So basically he was dragging, I'm guessing it's a he, dragging them upstairs earlier. The office desk faced the back end of the space. One evening, my date and I were fully engaged, not paying attention to the footsteps on the stairs and completely naked on the desk and the chair when all of the fluorescent lights were lit up. I grabbed my date by the shoulders, pulled her to my side and peered around her as she buried her head into my shoulders and I saw my father. All I could think to say was, "It's okay, Dad, it's just me." To which she replied, "It's not fucking okay. That's my chair." The lights went off. He went back downstairs and out the door. At least we heard him exiting. No words were ever spoken about it, but I never saw that chair again. again. Oh, until we cleared the basement out after his death 25 years later. I kept the chair as long as I could, but eventually ran out of excuses to my wife for keeping it. He did change the lock on the shop door, but I still managed to get another copy later on. There you go.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I would definitely have had a conversation post that scenario of, like, that's
this
not
cool.
This
is the 60s, mate. No yeah, way. No, you would happen, never. In the 60s, there's no way that would have ever come into conversation. It'd be
the
like, let's brush this under
the
carpet.
When you're having a good old session is someone to turn on the fluorescent lighting. Like, that is
it's
a...
not
a- fucking horrible.
It's not forgiving.
Wake up,
but
it's
more to do
forgiving.
How you didn't end up with some type of horrific sexual misfunction on the fact that you got caught by your dad. But immediately you'd think your dad every time you got an erection.
You might.
No, obviously I don't. My dad's dead.
You don't have a penis either. There
no,
is that.
I don't. But that what I mean is I think I'd become a celibate nun.
Probably. Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I can't ever have sex again because the image of my dad walking in on me.
Oh my God. I think as a parent too, just that must be so, they're just your kids, aren't they?
I can't imagine they're going to grow up,
but equally, how do you detach from them being like your little girl or your little boy, you know?
Exactly.
I just can't.
I would just see it as my kids. Like, I can't bear the thought of them ever being, I said to Steve, I was like, I hate the fact that they're going to grow up to be like you and like want sex like you do. He's like, oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, that's nice. I just can't bear it. They're like, they're my little boys.
Yeah, I haven't thought too much about it, but I can't even picture them being 10, let alone like 20, you know, just like what they're going to be like. I would kind of like to
have
a little
heavily, you know, teenage child. So
yeah, I know you're way ahead of me.
Yeah, I know. Like when I was in school, there was someone that was 14 who had a baby, which is obviously horrifically young. But I just think, I mean, Elliot's not there, not even remotely, but I just think fucking hell.
Yeah.
Like that's so actually
young,
a possibility. That's actually a possibility.
Or they could get someone pregnant at that age. Yeah.
How terrifying is that?
I think that my mum lived in that absolute fear with my brother. Because he was sexually active from a very young age and like always had girlfriends and stuff. And she was just like, please don't let any of them get pregnant.
STDs are fine, but not pregnancy.
Yeah, not pregnancy. Babies for life.
Babies are very permanent.
Yeah, it was a serious concern of hers. But I would definitely, these days, we love to talk about our feelings, don't we? So it would be one of those where you'd be like, so we need to discuss.
Let's remove the shame of the situation.
But the chair, I would be annoyed about that. I'd be like, come on, my chair. I sit on that all the time.
I don't know why I think the chair would be the least of my problems, really, with regards to that. Yeah, it's the image that would be fucking burnt into my brain.
True. Although they did hear the footsteps, so they were sort of not caught. They had paused. I wonder if they finished off.
They were so into it, they didn't hear footsteps coming up the steps.
Would that be it? Would it be over? Would you get dressed at that point?
Yeah. I wouldn't be like, should we carry on?
No, and then you've got to go downstairs and like face the dad as the person that's
been
caught. And
also to go home and be like, oh. And then for him to not even bring it up. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
I'm glad parenting has changed.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. I think it needed to.
Yeah, it really did, didn't it?
There's some telltale signs.
The fact that we've both been in therapy, me for like 10 years. And me for 3.
Yeah. Ongoing.
Ongoing for the indefinite future.
Yeah. Laura's only stable because of it. Like, yeah.
God, it needed
but
to
hey,
change.
It, I mean, who's to say that that's because of our parents, Victoria?
It's a very.
Who's to say?
That's an unfounded claim. So, apparently.
Isn't it?
Well, not according to Freud, but the sort of master of therapy. Yeah. But yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you say. I think that it would have to be a convo. And absolutely, I'd get rid of the chair. I'd just give it to, you know, give it away as charity.
Just give it to charity, mate. There you go. Here's the spunk chair.
Yeah, it has been fucked rigorously against its will. And then the following morning, the dad's gone in, sat down and been like, oh, this feels comfortable.
Yeah, I know. Or like, what's that smell? What's that? Can't quite put a finger on it.
Smells like teen angst and premature ejaculation.
That's Lynx Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right. Shall we do a little roundup now?
I think we should, love.
I think we should. So if you want to keep sending in your stories, don't forget you can email us as well as contact us on the old Instagram, but you can email us at noholesbarredpodcast@gmail.com or what else can they do, Laura?
They can head on over to our Instagram page at noholesbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
And don't forget, sex toys. It's nearly bloody Valentine's Day as well, guys. Come on. Treat your lady or your vagina to a nice little sex toy on our website.
Whether you're single or not, it does not matter. Whether you want to have sex on the day or not, it does not matter. Whatever occasion it might be, if you don't even celebrate Valentine's Day because you believe it is a social confine that was created by the advertising companies, it doesn't matter. Still buy our fucking sex toys.
There's always an excuse to.
There's always an excuse to have a wank.
There you go. That's it. And yeah, nothing else to say, bitches. We'll see you next week. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, you dead little slags. Nah.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.